Good morning, everyone. Welcome into another episode of the Troy Farkas Show, a podcast that is not about me. It is about all of us. The 20s are a crucial time in our lives, and on this show, we navigate the highs and lows of early adulthood together. Thank you all for joining me. I hope you're all having a tremendous week, that you have grown, that you've done something to grow, whether it's by some journaling, some reading, scheduling some time for yourself to read. That's something that has been big for me this week, especially doing so in the morning. It is a part of my routine. More on that to come in a moment. But I hope you're all having a great week. Seriously, that you're getting outside, enjoying the weather, going out for dinner, going out for drinks, whatever it is that you like to do that makes you happy. I hope you're doing it. And I wish you all the happiness in the world. Anyone who listens to this show, I wish you especially more happiness than everyone else. Big week. Excited for Liana's wedding that is happening Friday afternoon. Super excited for it. Gonna be a great time. Little concerned about if I'm gonna be able to stay up for the whole shebang, because obviously the ceremony and the reception will go late into the night. So as a notoriously early riser, someone who's waking up, you know, between 5 and 6, usually in bed, 9:30, 10:30. Can I make it until 3 a.m.? We'll see what happens, but I'll let you know what happens on the back end. All right, so this is what I wanted to focus on today. We got two things coming up. I'm going to have a conversation with Jake Hicks. He's going to update us on what is going on in his life. If you've been a fan of the show since day one, he has been on the show 3 or 4 separate times with crazy stories to tell each time. The latest is that he is a solar panel salesman in Florida, in Orlando now. He was in the Fort Myers, St. Petersburg area, and he's told us some crazy stories on the podcast about his decision to move there, highs and lows, becoming a vegan for half of the time, but not all the time, living in a big house. A cat just randomly showed up at his house one day and he adopted it. Door-to-door solar panel salesman, like, it's this whole shebang. He's going to update us. Now, you're going to notice something is that he does not bring his usual energy that he brings to the podcast, which was strange. And I didn't find out afterwards until why. Had a bit of a rough weekend, he said. And I'll just leave it at that. But basically, he was not at 100% for it. So he's lacking his usual energy. He's much more reserved. The craziness is a little dialed down. But nonetheless, he is here, coming up shortly in a matter of moments. And the interview will also be available over on YouTube, the full thing, if you are so inclined to do that. But I posted a blog earlier this week called The 3 R's of Success. And this was something I wrote recently and posted this week. And it's something that I want to expound more on, because you've heard me ask the question to the guests on the podcast, what do you think success is? And I've gotten an array of answers. But I haven't really given you what my definition of success is. So I want to do that here, and then I'm going to read you what I wrote. But my definition of success is not what a lot of people probably think success is at the outset. A lot of people say success is a lot of money. Success is a lot of friends. Success is waking up every day and knowing that you're in a good place and that you attack the day with a lot of energy, there's a lot of people around you, et cetera, et cetera. And all those things are fine. And I think it's a subjective answer, because I've asked that to a bunch of different people and have gotten different answers. But what I say success is honestly there's two different kinds of success. There's professional success and there's personal success. I think it is important to separate the two. Let's start with personal success. Personal success has absolutely nothing to do with your career, but we often associate success with your job, with money, with status, with what you own, things of that nature. On a more personal level, what does it mean to be successful to me? On a personal level, I feel success is being surrounded by people that care about you. Success is love. Success is people in your life. It doesn't have to be that many. Family, friends, a small circle. I keep a small circle, and I feel like that is the best kind of circle to keep, because it's more intimate that way. That is success to me. It's having deep, intimate, personal relationships, people that you can go to, people that you can count on, people that you trust, people that trust you. and that you can go to for anything and that they'll be there for you. That is success to me. It's also being personal success we're speaking about. It's also being where you want to be. It's not feeling forced to be somewhere that you don't want to be, whether that's a location, whether that's in a romantic relationship. Ultimately, what I think personal success is freedom. I think personal success is freedom. The ability to do what you want, when you want, with who you want, whenever, wherever you want. That is ultimately what success is to me in a personal sense. On the more professional side of things, again, the traditional thinking would skew toward professional success is a nice job with a fancy title, with a certain amount of zeros in your paycheck, where people look up to you and respect you and revere you and want your opinions on things, and you walk around the office and in the hallways kind of just like swinging this big dick energy, right? That's what success is in a professional sense. What most people think is. What I think is professional success is not all too far different from what I think personal success is. But there are some caveats. So professional success is, again, is freedom. It's you having your skill set and being able to do with it whatever it is that you want and not having to answer to a billion people. People trusting you to do what you were brought in to do and you executing the vision that you have and other people signing off on it and supporting you. That is awesome. It's working with really good people. It's working with really good people, whether that's in person, side by side, cubicle to cubicle, or remotely via Zoom, Slack, Discord, whatever. It's working with people that you like, that inspire you to be better, and that you inspire to be better. That is something I really look for. It's doing a job that you feel you are making the world a better place. I think that is something that all of us want from our careers, is we want to make the world a better place. We want to know that we are making someone else's life easier because of the product, the service that we are responsible for giving back to the world. That is ultimately what life is all about. It is this sense of utilitarianism, of we are all in this together, of sympatheia, as the ancient Greeks would say. We are all in this together. We are all here to serve one another, to get through this life together. And that is something that, for me personally, in my job, I am very bullish on. It is why I am in this industry, is because I know that when I was low, when I was depressed in the past, it was podcasts that got me through it. It was those people that I was listening to through my earbuds that were getting me through my day, that were inspiring me to get out of bed and take another step and just keep fucking going. And so now that I'm a podcast producer and a distributor and a host, I have my own visions for my own show and I execute other people's visions for their shows, because what all of us ultimately want is to put stuff out there that improves people's lives, that entertains them, that distracts them, that makes them think. Whatever it is the genre of the podcast is, I want to help people live a better life and be entertained. And I feel that that is what my talents and skills can do for the world. And so that is why I consider myself professionally successful, because I am doing things that I like with mostly people I like, not fully there with one company I'm working for, but I'm doing it with people I like, doing things that I like. I have freedom to do the things that I like, and I'm financially stable doing so. And that's kind of the last pillar. I just did a TikTok the other day at Troy Farkas on TikTok, where I said, if you're looking for a new job, the most important thing in the world is to chase good management, not chase good money. And that is not my own thinking. I have to credit sports radio host Colin Cowherd, who says that constantly, but it's something that's really stuck with me, because good management is absolutely everything, because good managers give you all of these things that I've just listed as professionally successful. They create environments where you can thrive. They create environments where you can be yourself, and they trust you and they empower you. And they're not knocking on your door every 5 seconds to make sure that you're doing it right. And they're not interrupting you all of the time to make sure that you're on the right track. They just trust you and leave you be and are there for you when you need it. Those are the types of managers that you need to search for when you are conducting your job searches. Money is not everything. I think that is the thing that our generation is now pushing forward the most, is that money doesn't make me happier for most of us. I remember Liana Giampetti, speaking of the girl who's getting married, she was one of the first guests on the podcast, and she said she was so miserable at her job in the medical field that she said that she was leaving. They just threw more money at her. And she said, no amount of money you throw at me can fix how I feel about this job. I don't want to go somewhere where I dread it, where I get in the car and hope that I get in an accident along the way so that I don't have to go to work. These are real things that people think who are miserable about their jobs. To be professionally successful, you want to find people that are great managers and let you do you. And the money, if you have financial stability, that is all that matters. If you are not living paycheck to paycheck, that gives you the breathing room that allows me to think that I am professionally successful. And so now that I have given the monikers, the definitions for what I feel are personal and professional success, I want to dive into this article, because this article that I wrote is the 3 R's of success. Now, it is titled the 3 R's of success, but what it really is the 3 R's of extreme elite success. Because what I just laid out, like, that success, it doesn't take that much to be successful. People think success is this big, grandiose thing that involves lots of dollar signs and lots of friends and lots of cars and possessions. And that is one way of thinking about it, but it is not everything. But what I am saying right here is that to get to that point, if you so choose to want to have that kind of success, you need to adopt the 3 R's. Because if you are just a regular everyday schmo that is not adopting the 3 R's, you're never going to get, or it is very unlikely that you will get to that point of where you are a household name, where people know you, where you have so much money that you don't know what to do with. Not all of us want that. I don't want that, because that involves so many responsibilities and freedoms that would be taken away from me. And so without further ado, here's the 3 R's of extreme elite success that I want to run by you. So here we go. Here's a quote. The successful people we look up to, the superheroes, are weird, neurotic creatures, end quote. When I first stumbled across that line in a Tim Ferriss novel, I didn't quite understand it. I've always believed the actors, athletes, writers, musicians, and academics we admire are normal people who harbor an abnormal level of natural ability. But after years of combing through books and listening to podcasts about the world's most successful people, I get it now. The entire lives of these, quote, superheroes are structured around atypical behaviors that most of us would deem weird and neurotic. And it is these very practices that propel our idols to the top and help them stay there. So the harsh reality is, if you want to experience professional success to the highest degree, you'll need to adopt superhuman discipline, declining invitations, and giving strange explanations for your behavior along the way. Friends, family, and coworkers will wonder what's wrong with you. Strangers will wonder what your deal is. It's uncomfortable. It's scary. But if you're not upsetting people, you're not doing it right. Adopt the 3 R's now, and I promise you will put yourself on the path toward the life you deserve. It's not an easy or pleasant life, and it's not cut out for everyone. But it is, one day, a rewarding one. Here's number one. Our superheroes are regimented. According to legend, President Obama, when reading briefs in the Oval Office at the end of a long work day, ate the same late-night snacks every night. 7 almonds. Every night. With all options in the culinary world available to him at the click of a button, the leader of the free world opted for the same number of almonds every night. One more nut might have flustered him. One less may have unsatisfied him. So many of our heroes live extremely controlled and organized lives, with every detail of their days planned out in advance. Deviations from those plans cause anxiety, which leads to less than optimal performance when dealing with our daily tasks, which leads me to the next R of success. Our superheroes are routine-oriented. The world's most successful people establish habits and routines, especially in the morning, that allow them to perform at high levels. They eat the same thing for breakfast every day. They take a post-dinner walk every dusk. Drinking enough water matters. Getting outside matters. Exercising matters. Sleep matters. Food quality matters. It's mundane. It's repetitive. It's uncreative. But it's the key. It's the routines that ground them, that prepare them, and armor them for all of life's curveballs. When outer chaos threatens the stability, our superheroes double down on their routines, finding solace in the familiarity. Number three, our superheroes are restrictive. Success and discipline go hand in hand. It means saying no to happy hour. It means not going to the movies. Will it upset people around you? Yeah. Will friends talk about you behind your back? Probably. Will coworkers reconsider inviting you next time? Most likely. But one day, when you're looking down on them from the mountaintop, they'll understand, and they'll want to be your friend. They'll see that you were right all along, and they'll want to adopt the same regimens, routines, and restrictions that you once did. But by that point, it will be too late. Because youth is the best time to establish the habits of success. The older you get, the more rigid you become, and the more difficult it is to change decades of established destructive behaviors. Start now. So that's my thoughts, the three R's of elite success. It is a life that is not cut out for everyone. I adopt a lot of routines and habits and things, whether it is my morning routine, whether it is the restrictive diet that I eat, I do cut things out. Aside from a cheat night once a week or once every other week, I do cut things out, and I'm very routine oriented. I drink a lot of water. I exercise every day. I'm very routine oriented. I'm restricted. I am regimented. I can't, I have to eat my last bite of food at night. There needs to be 3 hours between my last bite of food and when I put my head down for sleep. I go crazy if I eat 2 hours before I go to bed. It has to be three. There's a million other things that I do that I can't think of right now, but I will reveal just as I go forward here talking to you on this podcast. If you want to be uber successful, uber rich, everyone to know your name, I would argue those are not things worth shooting for. But if you want those things, you have to adopt those kinds of behaviors. All the world's most successful people in that sense are weird people. They do a lot of shit that you're like, why do they do that? There's a reason why they do that. And it's those reasons that got them to the top. And all of those people that doubted you, that laughed at you along the way, wondering, why is that person being so weird? They will magically reappear in your lives and want to be your friends again. Funny how that works. And it will feel so good once you get to that mountaintop to laugh in their face and say, you weren't with me then. You're not going to be with me now. I found better people. So those are my thoughts on the 3 R's of success. If you want to read more stuff, I've got a lot of really good stuff coming out over the next few weeks that I'm really excited for. A lot of deeply personal and intimate stuff that'll be over on the TroyFarkasShow.com. Now let's transition over to Jake Hicks. I gave you the rundown of where he's at. Going to speak to it again here with Jake. So without further ado, let's get back to my guy, Jake Hicks, currently in Orlando, Florida, living life as a solar panel salesman. Enjoy. An absolute pleasure to welcome back to the podcast the show's most frequent guest, the show's most popular guest, most beloved guest, Jake Hicks. Jake, the last time we spoke was in middle of March. In summary, I just laid out to the listeners what you and I talked about, but really quickly, you were living in Fort Myers, Florida. or St. Pete, I forget, going door-to-door solar panel salesman. You were doing okay. One of your big sales was to a lady in a car down the street. You're bopping around in the neighborhoods, playing basketball with the local kids to try to get yourself in the good graces of the neighborhood so that you can eventually sell solar to them. Also, you're doing a little traveling. You're going to Mexico. Your luggage gets lost. You were meeting up with your dad at some point, but he came to Florida and you were elsewhere, something like that. All sorts of crazy stories that you told the last time. And you said to me a couple weeks ago that you've got more updates going on in your life. So I'm really curious to find out about what is going on in the world of Jake Hicks. But first, before we get there, Jake, what's up? How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm good. Yeah, we've hit some new hurdles, some new checkpoints. Going off of that last bit, playing in that neighborhood, just talking to people in their cars, landed me a very lucrative commercial deal. So that commercial deal is worth north of $80,000 in commission, which we are waiting for the final proposal, but it is 3 tennis courts of solar panels.
Wow. Tell me more. Congrats. How did you land this?
So it was my first day of work. I was working the night shift, as I told all the homeowners, as I was knocking dark. It was back in November, and it was just a couple, an older couple, hanging in their garage. They invited me in for a beer, and I said, finally, took my hat off, just talked to them. Kept trying to looping it back. And we just stayed in contact. They said, yeah, you should really put solar on our commercial bit. On the clubhouse, in our restaurant. Turned out the roof wasn't big enough. They had some excess tennis courts that they wanted to, you know, not have to keep repaving, redoing, kind of keeping up with. And we proposed to put a solar farm on there. So with this new company I'm with, I had to jump ship from the last company to this company. And I'm now in Orlando. It's been a smooth transition.
Okay, so why did you leave the last company?
We need a better structure, me and my coworker, Will Donovan. So we met this guy, Alex Smith, in Dallas. We kind of went on a whim to a big convention in our industry. And he kind of pitched us some lofty expectations of what we could do. And we kind of shadowed him, went down to Orlando, kind of stayed in a hotel for a little bit. And it's really taken off so far. In the last week, you know, I've done 6 accounts, which is really great.
Okay. So how are you doing now financially? Obviously, an $80,000 deal is sweet, but in comparison to the old place, what is it like?
That deal would have been worth only about $60,000 at the old company. So we're just part of a bigger branch. We have bigger commercial partners. We have a better product, lower financing. So it makes more sense for the customer, which I obviously want to make sure that they get the best deal they can. So it had to do with that, but mostly just the training and the opportunity to kind of grow from an actual solar entrepreneur. He's been doing it close to 5 years now in the door-to-door industry, which is insane. And it's really helped me grow too. I'm honestly leading trainings in our company now with the new setters, kind of just showing them how to ease their way into it, which I think I touched on last time, dealing with the no's and, dealing with the lifestyle. You know, it's quite an insane lifestyle.
How so?
I mean, you're not required to work. You have to show up to the office and then you have to go talk to homeowners all day. So it's your choice how many you want to talk to. If you want to talk to 100, if you want to talk to 0, it's kind of up to you.
What have you learned most about yourself in this time down in Florida?
That I can do this. At first that, you know, it was a new industry. It was a new product that I didn't know much about. I didn't really have much, support down here. I was just kind of Airbnb-ing. living, you know, in hotels and Airbnbs. But that anything's really possible. I guess you're not going to die. Your things will get better. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm still, you know, working my way through, but it's been quite an adventure. It's been an experience, to say the least.
Yeah, last time we spoke, it seemed like most of us, you had your good days, you had your bad days, not just from a sales perspective, but more just from a mindset perspective and mental health perspective. So how are you doing on that front as you tackle this life every day?
A lot better. Just the community of people I'm around, you know, is a lot brighter. You know, there's just more similarities. There's more sports guys. There's more guys my age, mid, early 20s. So the camaraderie's better. The leadership's really good. So, you know, there's still those struggles. You know, today I just had two appointments cancel on me or reschedule. So there's always the uncertainty. You go to bed like, hey, I got two sits tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be the first day. I'm going to get the ball rolling. They text you at 8 a.m. like, hey, I'm feeling under the weather. Hey, I can't today. Something came up. I have a doctor's appointment, whatever. So there's still a bunch of highs and lows, but I don't know. It's quite a pay structure difference. So you have to kind of budget accordingly. But I don't know. There's more highs than lows, I would say, now than in March or the last time we spoke.
So speaking of budget, obviously this is, you know, what you're doing now is more money than what you were doing when you were coaching kids in the city and all the various things you were doing there. So how do you go about trying to make sure that you are spending money and saving money and investing money or whatever it is that you do and doing it responsibly?
Yeah, it's about an 80-20 split right now. 80% is honestly going to savings because we do make a lot of money, and 20% is just for my living expenses, my car, rent, student loans. And then most of our entertainment is covered by our company. Honestly, our boss takes us out and we don't have to spend too much money. I live with six guys, five other people. So it's very cheap, but It is something else, being the oldest guy.
Now, the last company was covering your rent. Is this one as well?
This one is not. That is the one stipulation.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Damn, that's wild. All right, so you say you're the oldest guy among six in the group that you're living with?
There's five of us, four St. John Fisher dropouts at this point. There are 22. And then there's one that is 21 who has been with me from the beginning.
Okay, so are all of these guys working for the same company as you?
Yeah.
Okay, what's it like living with that many people?
It's been nice because none of us are home during the day, and we're all cool with watching the playoffs at night. So we just kind of come home from work, do some role play, hash out our days, talk about some wins, watch basketball, kind of cook, and then just go to bed.
Okay, so when we... I've spoken in the past, I think I'd asked you if you saw this being where you wanted to be long term. And I think you had said that what you're doing in St. Pete, you said, yeah, I can see myself doing this for a couple years. Now, that has obviously changed. You're doing the same job, but different company, different location within Florida. What do you think about this one, about this new company, and about being in Orlando? How feasible long term do you think this is?
Yeah, I still want to stay in the industry. I still believe in the product. Probably the goal in a couple months is to start my own office, probably in Tampa, in another territory. So what we're doing here is growing very fast. We did 15 deals last week, which is like, let me think, probably like, I don't know, like $900,000 of business.
Not bad.
Not bad. So yeah, me and one of our roommates, the goal is to be opening an office at the end of the summer, which seems pretty lofty, but at this pace, it's definitely a goal. So that would be the new next stepping stone, would be opening our own office.
What is it that excites you most about the future of the solar industry?
Well, there's a deadline in the industry. So the government covers a majority of the out-of-pocket expenses. So as long as the government is shelling out, you know, $10,000-$15,000 to each homeowner, it is amazing. So that is only going to go for the next 2 years, 2.5 years. So we'll see what the new deal, what the new Green Deal will be, and if they'll extend the renewable energy or not.
Right.
We're kind of playing it day by day. So this is definitely the gold rush for the next 2 years.
Also, last time we spoke, you were being a vegan, but half of the time. I'm wondering if that is still going on.
We've slowed down the vegan train. I do not live with any vegans. It's still mostly chicken and rice, steak and rice, a lot of Chipotle. But now the vegan train has slowed down.
Are you playing ball at all?
Yeah, so we have team building every Wednesday. We've been playing basketball. It's been beach volleyball, basketball, basketball. And next week, I think, is going to be frisbee golf. So we got four hoopers. So we went 3-1 in the 3-on-3 tournament.
Okay. So,
yeah. I definitely don't have the same stamina, you know,
as I once had. Yeah, that happens. I played for the first time last week in about a year. I was playing full court with a bunch of Harvard kids. So I'm playing with a bunch of nerds here. And some of them were pretty good, though, I'm not going to lie. And I didn't have my same touch, you know, not playing a year and a half. You lose your touch around the basket. You lose your spatial awareness sense. But that aggressiveness of which I used to play with, I still very much play with. And I don't know if you struggle with this playing pickup ball, but it was just ingrained in me from such an early age to be so competitive. And I like step on the floor and no matter who I'm playing against, even if there's absolutely no stakes in it, nothing riding on it whatsoever, if someone scores on me, I want to rip their head off and I'm going to like get in their grill the rest of the game and I'm going to throw bows and I'm going to play a little dirty. Do you do anything like that, like channeling your old competitiveness, or do you just chill?
No, I'm more chilled. Definitely, you know, if it's like a series, we'll try to conserve energy for the last game and take it more seriously. But I'm just out there to, you know, get some cardio, get some sweat, get everyone involved, you know, a big team player. And then just play a lot of offense and just a little bit of defense, I would say.
Some things never change. All right, so to wrap up here, our guy, Kevin Herter, just had an awesome game. Game 7 against the Philadelphia 76ers. They are advancing to play the Milwaukee Bucks. This episode drops Thursday. We're talking on Monday. Game 1 is Wednesday. So when you're listening to this episode, no idea what happens, but I hope Kevin and the Hawks beat the Bucks. What did you make of Kevin's memorable Game 7 performance that saved the Hawks' life?
Yeah, it's incredible just hearing, you know, the halftime crew, Kenny, Chuck, and Charles, Shaq, talk about him.
Yeah.
Seeing him all over the internet, like on Twitter and everything. I mean, it's just great. We've known Kevin for so long and how good he is and, you know, kind of how underrated he is, honestly, in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like in the fantasy world, he's been a top 75 guy for like 2 years now. So it's just great to, you know, see him actually just come out and do what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about him being in a contract year as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
He got paid last night.
Yeah.
I asked Mikey Miner when I had him on the show a couple months ago, because he obviously played with Kevin even more than us, played with him every year growing up as they were kids. And I asked him if he thought when he was playing with him growing up, you know, when they were 12 years old, did you think Kevin Herter was gonna play in the NBA? And he said, like, no, the thought never even crossed my mind. And even when we were with him in high school, I played with him for 3 years, the thought still never crossed my mind. It wasn't until his sophomore year of college at Maryland, or maybe freshman or sophomore year, where I saw him on the floor, saw how big he was. I always knew how deep he could shoot it from, but the fact that he could shoot it over tall defenders and was now a little stronger and more athletic and could take it to the lane and not like get destroyed, that was when I knew that, oh, he can go to the NBA. At what moment did you think he could go to the league?
I thought he was going to the league his senior year at Shen.
Really?
Because Luke was on his team and they were really good. So he was coming off of a state championship his junior year with Tom Fish and all them. And I remember coming back like right around Christmas time, and he was, you know, probably 6'6", 6'7". And he just looked like, you know, in complete control. Like he looked like it was just a pickup game for him. I think he probably had like 25, 26 in the first half. Perfect shooting, you know, like 8 for 8 from three, perfect from the line. So yeah, I thought he had a chance then. Cause he got offered by all the major schools. I just think a lot of City Rocks guys went to Notre Dame or a few of the schools that he had in mind, and he wanted to do something a little bit different. And going there, I mean, from Maryland, you know, I thought he had a real shot. I thought he would stay longer than he did.
I think he did too. Yeah.
Yeah. But you definitely, if you went to his game senior year, it definitely looks like he had a chance.
So that was my conversation with Jake Hicks. Again, a very reserved Jake Hicks, an unusually reserved and tame and kind of quiet Jake Hicks, to be honest. But nonetheless, Jake, thank you for joining me. Very thankful for you, as always, for giving us your time. Really proud of him. He seems like he's killing it. He decided that he needed to go elsewhere to do what he needed to do. He also said that he's actually hasn't like broken up with the first company that he was working for. So I hope next time we talk to Jake that situation is remedied. But sounds like financially he's doing really well, and he's just scratching the surface of his potential. He's found something that he really loves doing, and I'm super happy for him there, because I remembered so many years of Jake calling me up and just freaking out about his life and what he was put on this earth to do and him not knowing. And I always told him that he needed to go into sales because he's a really good people person. People flock to him, and he's really easy to like. So shout out to you, Jake, for finding what drives you. And hopefully you can find all sorts of personal and professional success along the way. I hope all of you have a great weekend, that you get outside, that you do something you love or something you've never done before. Maybe you go axe throwing. Maybe you go shoot a gun if that's your thing, or whatever it is that you want to do. Stop putting it off. Go do it, and do it with people you love, or do it by yourself. Whatever. Whatever will make you happy. I'll be back next week. More episodes, more interviews, more thoughts, more blog posts, all of that good stuff. Follow me on social media at Troy Farkas. You can also check out at the Troy Farkas Show on Instagram. I'm posting more stuff on my own TikTok as well. So if you want to get in over there, stuff I like, advice, things from my life, things from the show, if you want to check it out, if you care remotely about me at all, you can check me out on all of these various platforms. I appreciate your support. I appreciate the reviews for the Troy Farkas Show on Apple Podcasts. I hope you all have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.